flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Yes, indeed. Good Saturday morning. And if you're fishing below Venice anytime soon, you might just be needing that bigger boat. I'll explain why. Plus, Louisiana is expecting an invasion this spring. It's not the same invasion you've been hearing about on the U.S. southern border. I'll tell you about that one, too. And as those brutal as fishing conditions were last Saturday, the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club Minimalist Challenge went on. Brendan Bayard, our paddling reporter, was there, and he'll have a full report on the winner and how it went there. His report will be with other field staff of marina owners, professional anglers. We'll mix their reports along with yours and your comments and questions that you text into the studio. That number, 504-260-1870. Tell us who you are, where you are, and what you got going on a rainy Saturday morning, but hopefully it's not going to last long. Depends on where you are, and I'll get to that coastal marine forecast real soon. So what happened at last week's Department of Wildlife and Fisheries public hearing on new reduced redfish regulations? Director of Louisiana Coastal Conservation Association, David Cresson, is going to talk about what went on at that meeting and also give the latest status on the pogie ship issue. We hope that will be resolved at next Thursday's Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. And it is official. The total Louisiana recreational red snapper catch numbers are in. Did we go over or under the quota, and what will that mean for this year's season? And if you think Louisiana's new speckled trout regulations are tight, well, you may be feeling a little better when you hear what Texas just adopted as their new speckled trout regs. This Wednesday is the last day for the primitive weapon deer season in Louisiana. Still a few more days to go in Alabama. How was your season this year? We'll talk about some of those late-season hunting opportunities. And there's, believe it or not, some small game and other things you can get involved in. And we have a moral to this week's Bad Boy of the Outdoors feature, and that is if you intend on breaking the law, don't get lost doing it. This week, the case of the disoriented deer slayers. This week's Bad Boys of the Outdoors. All right, that coastal marine forecast, well, you know it. If you're anywhere between the Alabama state line and midway through Louisiana, you're getting it right now. The final of several frontal systems is sweeping across the Gulf Coast. Looks like Baton Rouge is clear pretty soon, New Orleans. And if you're in the Florida Panhandle or Mobile Bay area, you're going to be catching it real soon. It has been sweeping through Louisiana. It's one of those north east to southwest frontal systems. Got a good bit of heavy rain embedded in it. But the good news, it's moving quick and it will be out of here for most of your weekend. So what will it look like? Well, today you're going to have south and southwest winds offshore, 15-knot winds, 3 to 5 foot seas. Those will be coming northwesterly tomorrow. Same intensity, 15 to 20, but a whole different direction. On the interior lakes and bays today, southwest and west winds, 10 to 15 with a light chop. And then tomorrow, northwest winds, 10 to 15, a moderate chop. Average tide range 1.1, and it's going to be some muddy water with that wind switching around at that intensity. And it looks like the party's over for the Low Mississippi River, 6.6 and rising. She's a jumping, and that happens every spring. All right, we got all those field reporters. We'll be getting some fishing reports for you. Talk about those late season hunting opportunities. And how did we do on red snapper? Pretty doggone good here in Louisiana. We'll be back to talk about all of that stuff over the next 2 hours. It's what we do each and every Saturday morning right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, it's been a muggy, rainy kind of breezy, kind of week here along the Great Gulf Coast, but looks like that's fixing to end. We got some cooler weather coming behind it. Some of you listening to me may already be in it. Let's talk to Robbie Campo down at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. Robbie, looking at the radar, either you are just went through the worst part of it or about to get it, but it's moving through your way and should be out of there probably in the next hour, an hour and a half. What's it look like?
Well, we just got a heavy downpour, and now it's just like a little light drizzle. But I was looking on the radar, and I think there's another wave going to – it looks – that wave that's coming out of the Gulf here, it looks like it's going to get us. But, you know, I mean, it could fall apart before it gets here. Who knows? But we just got some rain here just like 2 minutes before I came on the radio here. It stopped. So, yeah, but I tell you, Don, it's been a pretty ugly week, you know, kind of rainy and misty and foggy and whatever, you know, how it goes with that kind of stuff. But that did not stop the redfish from biting or over on the Hopedale side here and up in the Bluxy Marsh. They caught plenty of redfish here in the last couple of days. The guys who braved it and went out. I had a couple charter captains who did fish, and we even started to see a few trout showing back up. So that tells me water temperature. Now, the water temperature gauge over here at Shell Beach must be stuck on 49 because I know the water's not 49 degrees anymore. It's 49.9, it says, but in Bay Gardene yesterday, the water was 60 degrees, so I know the water temperature is warming up. And it's not at 49 degrees or more. There's no way it could be that cold. But nevertheless, we started to see a few trout showing up in the ship channel here yesterday. So they're telling me water temperatures are coming up because I haven't seen a trout bite in probably 3 weeks. So, you know, right before that big cold front came through. So, things are changing. And starting for the better. So, hey, I think tomorrow is probably going to be the better day to fish. But, hey, it's like I always say, if Saturday's your day and you want to come on down, we got tanks full of live shrimp here. So, you know, we got you. Just need people to show up.
You know, Robbie, this is one of those days where if you're planning on fishing, you got to keep your eye on the radar because it's hard to judge exactly when it's going to blow through, but it is going to go through and it's going to switch that wind around and going to be some dry temperatures. Temperatures are going to be dropping later on this evening into tonight, and the next week looks like it's going to be gorgeous as far as the rainfall coming and some pretty moderate temperatures. So, but, you know, you just got to have a good radar plan and watch it, and you can be sitting on go. And as soon as it clears your area where you're going to fish, you can go out and get them.
That's right. That's right. You got to pay attention to that radar. That's a fact. And like I said, Don, you know, with a few trout showing up in the ship channel here, I think, and you know, the tide's coming in. We got a good tide range. The tide's up pretty good right now. I think you could put some fish in the box today if you want to brave it. But, you know, we're winding down on deer season. So I think here in the next couple of weeks, I think people are going to get back into fishing mode. You know, duck season ending and, you know, deer season winding down. I think people will start getting back up into fishing mode and, you know, here in the next couple of weeks and start fishing again. So, we should start seeing some more people out.
Robbie, if somebody's headed into the Chip Channel to do some speckled trout fishing, what should they bring with them? Do you have any live shrimp or are they using something else?
Oh, yeah, we got tanks full of live shrimp right now. So, yeah, like I said, I would definitely have some live shrimp with me. Just, you know, I know a lot of people this time of year like to fish plastics. But I would definitely have some live shrimp because I think a Campo's live shrimp on the end of your hook is going to do you a whole lot better right now than a piece of plastic. That's my personal opinion, and I think I would, if I left out of here, I would have shrimp in the boat with me, I promise you.
And maybe some dead shrimp because the sheephead should be still biting pretty good down there on those rocks too.
Long rocks are slap full if you wanted to go out there and go do that. If you can get out there, Don, I'm telling you, long rocks has got all you want on them. you can go out there and fill a boat up. I'm telling you, it's silly with them, but nobody's been going out that way to go fish sheephead because, you know, we just haven't had the weather to go out there to do it, you know. So, and then you got to have people fishing. That's the biggest part. You got to have people fishing at this time of the year. And again, you know, they're trying to get that last little bit of deer hunting in. I know some people that's doing some duck hunting stuff and other places going to do this conservation hunts. Hmm. So, like I said, in the next couple of weeks, this will all be out of their system and pulling a trigger somewhere. And
they'll be cleaning the guns and putting them up and pulling out the fishing poles. Robbie, I had a dense fog advisory for some areas. You know, fortunately, when you get rain, you don't have fog at the same time. You only get one or the other. If we got both of them, it'd really be bad. Did you see any fog on your way down this morning?
None. Not any at all. No fog. It was clear all the way down. From Nero all the way down to here, you know, and usually if it's going to be anywhere, it's going to be around that cow pasture, Nero cow pasture right there. You know, that's usually the spot, but it was clear all the way to the river and, you know, all the way down. So I don't see any fog anywhere, just a little light. Like I said, we had a good rain came through a little few minutes ago and some light drizzling right now, and it's probably gonna clear up here after a while, and just hope to get somebody out. That's all.
Yeah, about the time we get off the air, it should be clear in your area. Now, people further to the east, they're going to have to endure it for a little bit longer. But people back to the west, some of them are already in the clear back there. So just one of those typical wintertime fronts. We'll get it out of here and get some a little bit better weather in to catch some fish. Robbie, hope you have more reports for us next week. We'll talk to you then.
Yes, sir. Okay, Don. All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, Robbie Campo, you'll find him at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right, coming back after this, got a lot to talk about. We'll get to your text messages at 504-260-187 and also talk about some of that late-season hunting Robbie was mentioning. Also, the Red Snapper official numbers for 2023 are in. We'll have that for you, too. It's all coming up right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we're checking in with some of our listeners on our text board. Comes in here real time directly to the studio at 504-260-1870. We take your reports, your questions, your comments. Steel Man checking in from the Henderson area public land. H-Dog and the Steel Man were very satisfied. They hit a quick two-man limit of mostly green-winged teal last Saturday in Gaydon. Rest of the crew were nursing hangovers, poor guys. Sunday was much slower, but Big Bar, Tito, and Steel Man will be giving it a try around their old stomping grounds for this last weekend of duck season. Yeah, looking at the seasons, Robbie was talking about the seasons wrapping up for hunting, but there's still some late season opportunities out there. You've got the archery season and primitive firearms in Louisiana open in some areas until the 31st, and then it's all over there. Alabama, of course, still has their season runs into February. This is the prime time in Alabama for their rut. The duck and speckled belly geese, that's over. It actually ends tomorrow in the east zone. We've got the veterans and youth hunters for that zone for the east on February 3rd. That will be next weekend. You got one day there, the final day of the waterfowl season. The Goose Conservation Order. Now, if you've never done that, it's incredible. They relax the regulations on hunting snow, blue, and Ross's geese. There's no limit. You can use electronic collars. You can take the plug out of your gun. They actually extend the shooting hours a little bit in the evening. Try to give you every advantage because the overpopulation of snow and blue geese, they're trying to work on it. That's why they call it a conservation order. That runs all the way from January 29th to March 3rd. Although the geese lately, last several years, you don't really find many hanging around this far south that late. But if they are, it's open. The small birds, the snipe and the woodcock. And if you got a chance to look at my Facebook page this week, we had a picture of both of them side by side, what a snipe looks like and a woodcock. The woodcock is the one on the left. The snipe is the one on the right. Most of the people got it correct. Some missed out on it, and some thought it was the same bird. A snipe is open all the way through February 28th. A woodcock opens is open now and closes on next Wednesday, January 31st. We got a trip planned on Tuesday down in the Atchafalaya Basin with Timmy Trahan and Ryan Lambert. I'll be talking to him a little bit longer. And Dean, we're bringing our dog Smokey and Latte. And Woodcock have been pretty thick. That hard cold we had a week or so ago has really put a lot of woodcock in the Bayou State. Squirrel and rabbit, if you're a small game hunter, February 29th. You get an extra day because we got another 29th of February this year. Also, quail is open through February 29th if you can find any more wild quail in Louisiana. Now, when all those wrap up, then you got to wait till April 6th. That will be the opening day of turkey season. However, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday, those 3 days, that will be the youth turkey hunting in Louisiana. So you can still hunt those feral hogs and other nuisance animals year-round. By the way, speaking of feral hogs, our Bayou Wild team is down this morning, starting off in Kaplan. We'll be heading down near Erath. With Troops and Tusk, we'll be talking to Derek Poor a little bit later on in the month and getting the rundown on that tournament, which serves a couple of purposes. It does some fundraising for veterans. It also helps eliminate the feral hogs and provide some meat for some underprivileged people. Anyway, we have got a couple of elk. All right, we're checking in with some of our listeners on our text board. Comes in here real time directly to the studio at 504-260-1870. We take your reports, your questions, your comments. Steel Man checking in from the Henderson area public land. H-Dog and the Steel Man were very satisfied. They hit a quick two-man limit of mostly green-winged teal last Saturday in Gaydon. Rest of the crew were nursing hangovers, poor guys. Sunday was much slower, but Big Bar, Tito, and Steel Man will be giving it a try around their old stomping grounds for this last weekend of duck season. Yeah, looking at the seasons, Robbie was talking about the seasons wrapping up for hunting, but there's still some late-season opportunities out there. You've got the archery season and primitive firearms in Louisiana open in some areas until the 31st, and then it's all over there. Alabama, of course, still has their season runs into February. This is the prime time in Alabama for their rut. The duck and speckle belly geese, that's over. It actually ends tomorrow in the east zone. We've got the veterans and youth hunters for that zone for the east on February 3rd. That will be next weekend. You got 1 day there, the final day of the waterfowl season. The Goose Conservation Order. Now, if you've never done that, it's incredible. They relax the regulations on hunting snow, blue, and Ross's geese. There's no limit. You can use electronic collars. You can take the plug out of your gun. They actually extend the shooting hours a little bit in the evening. Try to give you every advantage because the overpopulation of snow and blue geese, they're trying to work on it. That's why they call it a conservation order. That runs all the way from January 29th to March 3rd. Although the geese lately, last several years, you don't really find many hanging around this far south that late. But if they are, it's open. The small birds, the snipe and the woodcock. And if you got a chance to look at my Facebook page this week, we had a picture of both of them side by side, what a snipe looks like and a woodcock. The woodcock is the one on the left. The snipe is the one on the right. Most of the people got it correct. Some missed out on it, and some thought it was the same bird. A snipe is open all the way through February 28th. A woodcock opens is open now and closes on next Wednesday, January 31st. We got a trip planned on Tuesday down in the Atchafalaya Basin with Timmy Trahan and Ryan Lambert. I'll be talking to him a little bit longer. And Dean, we're bringing our dog Smokey and Latte. And woodcock have been pretty thick. That hard coal we had a week or so ago has really put a lot of woodcock in the Bayou State. Squirrel and rabbit, if you're a small game hunter, February 29th. You get an extra day because we got another 29th of February this year. Also, quail is open through February 29th if you can find any more wild quail in Louisiana. Now, when all those wrap up, then you got to wait till April 6th. That will be the opening day of turkey season. However, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday, those 3 days, that will be the youth turkey hunting in Louisiana. So you can still hunt those feral hogs and other nuisance animals year-round. By the way, speaking of feral hogs, our Bayou Wild team is down this morning, starting off in Kaplan. We'll be heading down near Erath. With Troops and Tusk, we'll be talking to Derek Poor a little bit later on in the month and getting the rundown on that tournament, which serves a couple of purposes. It does some fundraising for veterans. It also helps eliminate the feral hogs and provide some meat for some underprivileged people. Anyway, we have got a couple of LSU football players, Witt and West Weeks, will be accompanying Lance Burgos and Chris LeCocq. They'll be and Captain Whitebean. Don't let me forget about Whitebean. They're going out in airboats this morning hunting feral hogs, and it'll be on a future episode of Tigers in the Wild, a new feature with LSU athletes in the outdoors, and that will be airing on Bayou Wild. Our first Tigers in the Wild will be airing next Saturday. It premieres on Bayou Wild. If you want to find a station near you and a time and a channel, go to our webpage, BayouWildTV.com. You can always watch it on YouTube. That one, our first shoot, was going to feature Alex Milazzo, the catcher for the LSU championship baseball team, and pitcher Cade Woods. They're going to be accompanying our friends down at Hackberry Rod and Gun for a cast and blast. And it should be an exciting season. Don't miss it. Tigers in the Wild. All right, we do have the final Red Snapper landing estimates for 2023. You know, we update these as they come into us. Their estimates, they run a little bit behind time, but the final numbers are in. And it looks like we did pretty doggone good. 878,000 and some change pounds of red snapper caught during the 2023 recreational season. And that is about 94% of our total allocation, which was nearly a million pounds. So 6% of the Louisiana allocation went uncaught. That will be tacked on to next year's quota. And we'll check that out for when we get the dates. It's scheduled to reopen on May 24th, 2024, unless some changes are made by the Wildlife and Fishery Commission. So that new quota will be assigned, plus, by my estimates, another 56,000 pounds and a little bit more, a little change on that from this year's quota. And it could be as high as a million-pound quota. That would be really good news. So stay tuned. If you're a red snapper enthusiast, things are looking up on the red snapper front. All right, we got a break to take. We'll come back and we'll talk about what Texas has adopted for their spotted sea trout, better known as speckled trout regulations, and not going to make you feel so bad about our new regulations here in Louisiana. Got that coming up, and also your chances to win some great prizes on some raffles. We'll talk about those. And also, what is this invasion we're expecting here in Louisiana this spring? Tell you about it after this timeout and your text messages. 504-260-1870. We're back right after this. All right, you may be sitting on wait already before you go. We're waiting for the sweeping front to push through coastal Louisiana. My latest estimates, it looks like the area around Lafayette, New Iberia, and areas to the west, Jackson, Mississippi, all of those areas are behind the front now. It's clear. It's moving through to the east, and we'll probably be passing through Alabama, Florida next, and clearing Louisiana within the next couple of hours, leaving us with some clear skies, some lowering temperatures, and a switch in the wind. Winds have been south and southwesterly. They will switch around to the north and eventually become northwesterly by tomorrow. Going to turn things around, going to drop some water levels. Had a question about water level in Shell Beach. I would assume with these south and southwest winds we've been getting, it's probably a little above or at normal, but it will be falling out of there pretty quickly, and you got over a foot tidal range, so water will be moving very quickly. If you like to fish a falling tide in those marsh areas, this afternoon could be the time to do it. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds here and come back and talk about Texas's speckled trout limits and what's this invasion going on. And why would you need a bigger boat if you fish in Venice? Talk about all that stuff right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, when we started the show, we were talking about if you're going to be fishing in Venice, you might need a bigger boat, like they said in a very famous movie. Well, the reason is, if you haven't heard, and a lot of you probably seen it on social media, they have picked up some pinging from the radio telemetry device on a 10-foot great white shark that was located below Venice. The name, I think it's a female, named Crystal. 10-foot, approximately 480 pounds, which is not gigantic for a great white. But what this is showing, and they have been seen there before, it was very rare that anyone ever sighted great white sharks off the Louisiana coast, in the Gulf of Mexico at all. But now that we've got these tracking devices, it's becoming more and more common to find that these great whites, I don't know whether we're just finding out about them more being here, or there's some changes in the environment that is driving them down south more frequently. But whatever the case, great white sharks are definitely a critter that that haunts the Gulf of Mexico waters, this one particularly below Venice. So if you get hooked up and something takes off and does not look back, maybe it was a great white. I'm sure there's a lot of stories about those ones that got away. All right, looking at our neighbors to the west over in Texas, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission took some action this past week at the Texas Parks and Wildlife headquarters in Austin. It was their monthly meeting. They have changed the daily bag limit for speckled trout. You know, it was 5. It is now going to be 3. 1, 2, 3 trout, and you're done. Slot limit is tightened up. 15 on the minimum size, 25 on the top end. So you can go, that was 15 to 25. Now it's going to be 15 to 20. So it's a little bit narrower, meaning you're going to keep less fish. They also changed the what they consider trophy fish. Before, you could keep one fish if it was over 25, the thinking being, well, if I get one, I want to get it mounted. It's a trophy fish. I'll be able to keep it. But now they have changed it. You're allowed to keep one over 30 inches as part of the daily bag. I know trout run bigger in Texas, but everything's bigger in Texas, right? But to find them over 30 inches, yeah, that is a true trophy, and I don't know how many of those are going to be found to be added to the daily. They'll be part of the daily bag limit, so you can get 2 in the 15 to 20-inch slot and only 1 over 30. This is for the entire Texas coast. It's not broken into zones, and it's probably going to go into effect sometime in mid-March, right before the spotted sea trout spawning season. So our limit here in Louisiana recently changed, as I'm sure well of you are aware. But, you know, if you're in Texas, you got even a tighter one, and hopefully we'll see how that works out for them. A lot of times we can look to what some of these other programs are and kind of gauge how they might work out for us. By the way, our new spotted sea trout regulations in Louisiana, it's our slot is 13 to 20, so we get to keep a little smaller fish. As far as the trophy fish, 2 fish over that 20-inch can be part of your 15-fish daily limit. Now, charter guides, deckhands, they are not allowed to keep their own limit of spotted sea trout when they're on a paid trip. So new regulations for Louisiana, new regulations for Texas, and, yeah, they're pretty tight. All right, I was talking about an invasion coming up. Now, this doesn't happen very often. The last time it happened, 1803. I don't think many of you remember that. But anyway, there were 2 different broods of a little critter called a cicada. Now, cicada is that thing. A lot of people call them locusts, but they're not really locusts. They're a cicada. It's that animal that buzzes and hums in the summertime. And they're pretty unique because they live on cycles. There's a 13-year cycle and a 17-year cycle on 2 different species. And when these cycles, the numbers just explode and they erupt. Billions of them make their appearance. And sometime in late April, we're going to have this explosion, and it's time to where both of the species will be at the very same time. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. After this year, and I get this, after these broods won't be synced up again until another 221 years. Don't think we'll be around to wait for that. But anyway, be looking for it. The cicada invasion coming to a woodline or a neighborhood near you. All right, coming back after this, we got more to talk about. What happened at the Wildlife and Fisheries public hearing with redfish, and also what's going to happen next Thursday. Pogie ships, the new regulations are being proposed on a notice of intent. Back to talk about it right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And on the line with us is Captain Darryl Carpenter. RealScreamers.com operates out of Grand Island. Darryl, this was one of those weeks where it was tough to get any fishing reports. People just not going out, and I don't blame them. It was some grungy, muggy, rainy weather.
Well, Don, you know, the good side of that was, you know, parts of the southeastern part of the state were able to dodge a lot of that. I mean, Grand Isle dodged a lot of it, but you're right. I mean, all the metropolitan areas had a lot of rain and all on it, and it made people just want to go hug their couch and that pillow. You know, the few times I went up and down that highway this week, it was really, I was amazed at how clean the water has remained with all this weather we've had, but it's really good clean water. Birds, everywhere, you know, pelicans, cormorants, seagulls, everything. So the ponds up and down the side of the road are full of bait. Just really wasn't anybody there to harass it. As far as the boat goes, you know, we've been, what few times we've been on the water this winter season, we are finding some good redfish. I mean, the marsh is starting to get its normal routine back with redfish. And other than that, it's been sheephead. But you're right. I mean, Grand Isle's got perfect conditions this morning, low wind, you know, but about an hour down the road, here comes the last of that front, and it's going to be nothing but a squally day the rest of the day today. So you might get a quick daylight shot at it this morning, but other than that, it's going to turn nasty again.
Yep. Darryl, I had a text message came in when I was talking about Texas changing their speckled trout regulations, and it says, charter captains better get ready. Sounds like we might get invaded by Texans. Ha, 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 ha. So, you know, they're going to three fish, and I know from talking to you and a lot of other guys, we get a lot of Texas people come over to Louisiana, and they were coming here. We had a 25-fish limit, which is very generous, and a lot of the caution was, you know, expressed by some of the charter captains that if we go to 15, you know, we're not going to get the business. The people are not going to come here, and it's going to hurt the Louisiana economy. But them going from 5 to 3, now you're looking at coming to Louisiana for 15 and a more generous slot limit, too. How do you think that's going to impact the charter business from Texas fishermen?
Well, Don, we, you know, especially that Lake Charles area gets a whole lot. I mean, they're probably their primary draw is out of that Texas area, the Houston area. We get a fair amount of them in the middle part of the state. You know, what I have found lately is the limits don't matter all that much whenever you know, do it from one state to the other. What we're concerned about is at what point, you know, for the consumptive user, at what point does it put the charter trip out of realistic range on the expenses as opposed to the reward? Now, that's not saying that, you know, we give a good experience. Your experienced charter captain gives a good experience. It's a good day on the water. It's memories to make. And the fish are on top of that. But we do have a certain amount of the clientele that is what I'd call purely consumptive users. They don't want that 14 fish. They want those 15 fish. And, you know, as those start getting knocked down, I think that's going to be somewhat of a loss for us.
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing is some of those lesser-known species, you know, when you add in maybe some puppy drum, and then you got limitless sheephead right now and the white trout. There's still a lot of fish out there for the meat hunters, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's still a lot of it. You know, this time of the year, we spend a lot of time just, you know, messing around and looking. I actually saw a YouTube video the other day. It seems to be a real popular thing in New York is they're doing sushi out of hardtails, out of Blue Runners. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my Lord, is it getting that bad?
I don't know. I guess like they say, don't knock it till you've tried it, but I'll let you try it and tell me how it tastes.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, we've got some uncertain times ahead of us. But, I mean, it's going to adjust. We'll adjust to it. Like you said, it'll be different species. You know, we'll have to make some adjustments to our trips here and there. I mean, we're already seeing it. The, you know, last few trips I ran, you know, toward October specifically for speckled trout, we were with the new limits that went into place. What was that? No, October, November. I mean, we were done for trout at 8:30 in the morning. So I mean, it's going to take some adjustments. We're just going to have to figure out what each individual client wants, and we're going to have to move around and do it.
Darryl, somebody wants to get information about coming to fish with you this spring or even into the summer. It's never too early to book a trip. Get down on the books. Tell them how to get a hold of you.
No, Don. In fact, that's been the trend lately is early bookings. But they can find me on your website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We've got RealScreamers.com. It's got a lot of information there. Or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
All righty. Try to stay out of that rain, and, you know, we got all that gills we need down here this time of the year. But looks like we got a nice, solid week of clear weather ahead. We just got to wait for this front to blow through and water to settle back down. But from what you're telling me right there by the side of the road, clean water full of bait, that's all you need right there.
Yeah, and look, this weather's had me pinned down too, so I've been in cooking mode. I might need a new refrigerator to store everything by the time I'm through.
Nothing wrong with that. Darryl, have a good weekend, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week.
Have a good one, Don. Stay dry.
All righty. Darryl Carpenter, Real Screamers, R-E-E-L, Screamers.com, or you can do R-E-A-L, Screamers.com. Either way, you'll find him. All right, coming back after this, we'll talk about the Poggy situation. That's going to be addressed next Thursday at the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. And what went on at the Redfish hearing that was held in Baton Rouge? And somebody missed the invasion I was talking about. I'll fill them in on that. We'll be back right after this pause. And the director of the state's largest conservation organization for marine resources in the state, David Cresson, joins us now. And David, thanks for joining us. Two big issues we've been covering, and thank you for your input on this. We're going to talk about what went on at the public hearing, the one public hearing dealing with the notice of intent to modify the redfish size and bag limits. And we're also going to talk about an item that is on the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission agenda next Thursday, and that is the menhaden industry. Which one you want to talk about first? It's your choice.
You tell me, Don. We could start with the menhaden stuff and then finish up with redfish if you like, or we could go the opposite way. It's totally up to you.
Let's do that. Let's start off with the pogie boats, or pogie ships, as I call them. Where do we stand on that now, going into a notice of intent that will be addressed by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries next Thursday? What do you think will happen, and what would you hope will happen?
Yeah, so as everybody that's listening to your show probably knows, there's a notice of intent that is pending right now that was passed in October, but still pending, that would create a one-mile buffer zone off Louisiana's coast, kind of put us in line with the other Gulf Coast states. And then it would also create some special three-mile buffer zones in places like Grand Isle and Rutherford Beach and Holly Beach. And it would set some fines and some rules for what happens when this industry spills fish or has net tears. And so what I hope happens is that NOI is moved forward next Thursday. And if it moves forward next Thursday, it would still have to survive potential legislative oversight, but we feel good about that. The issue is now, Don, this was a popular issue amongst commissioners 3-4 months ago, but two of those commissioners have since rolled off. And they have been replaced. One of them's been replaced with another commissioner, and one of them hadn't been replaced yet. And so there is some question about where those new commissioners, or the new commission in its current state, will fall on this. And so we are very hopeful that the NOI will proceed as it's currently written, with the 1 mile, with the 3 mile. 3 mile exceptions around Grand Isle and Rutherford Beach and Holly. But certainly we are concerned that dark forces have been at work behind the scenes, trying to do anything in their power to get this thing killed. I could tell you, I've been around, state government a lot the last couple of months. The industry is throwing around huge dollars trying to convince people that this is a bad move for Louisiana. But you're talking, you mentioned it, Don, huge ships with huge nets taking enormous amounts of Louisiana's natural resources off our shorelines, killing our redfish, doing damage to our shorelines, boats coming in from Mississippi, taking from Louisiana, going back to Mississippi with the harvest. And so all we've asked them to do is move these operations offshore a little bit to protect our shorelines, protect our fish, avoid the user conflicts that we hear about so much. Industry's doing everything in their power to stop this, but we need listeners like yours to speak up this week, make their voices heard, show up at the meeting on Thursday, and hopefully we can get this thing done.
You know, David, people ask me when I run into them on the street or in conversations, they say, "What? Florida doesn't allow it at all. Alabama makes them stay 1 mile off. Mississippi does too. Why not Louisiana?" I'm sure they threw up those same arguments when those restrictions were put in those states. What's the difference between Louisiana and those other states, especially given the fact that Louisiana's close inshores is much more sensitive than those other states' shorelines are?
Yeah, I wish I had a good answer for you, Don, except for the obvious that money rules the day in Louisiana. We live in a state where, unfortunately, The folks with the deepest pockets are the ones that tend to make the rules. And so this industry has operated with impunity for, you know, decades here in Louisiana. But in recent years, they've had, you know, they had 18 fish spills in 2023. They had multiple fish spills in the years before that. And of course, we know, as we're about to talk about, our redfish limits are about to be changed for recreational anglers. And these guys are killing tens of thousands of Louisiana spawning redfish in our shallow waters. You know, the average depth of Louisiana's waters 1 mile from shore is about 12 feet. We had a study done, and the average depth at 1 mile is 12 feet. These boats draft more than 12 feet when they're loaded with a harvest. It just makes sense to keep a boat that drafts 12 feet of water in water that's deeper than 12 feet. I mean, it just makes sense. So we need to get this done, Don, and we're going to need all your listeners to send comments to the email address. We'll give them in a minute.
All right. When we come back after the top of the hour break, we'll find out about when and who that commissioner might be that so far is going to be asked to vote on a couple of very, very significant issues. We'll talk redfish with David Cresson. We'll get some more fishing reports for you. And, of course, everybody's favorite, Bad Boy of the Outdoors. Don't get lost if you're committing a crime. We'll tell you about that. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.